Buckle up and get ready for a journey of the mind. This is PM Drive.
South Africa's parole system under strain, with only one criminologist assessing parole applications for life sentence prisoners. So the shortage of criminologists, it has caused a serious backlog in parole decisions and the process itself, ultimately exacerbating concerns over the fairness and the effectiveness of the system. Dr. Elizabeth Grobler, criminologist, areas of specialization, police corruption. Dr. Elizabeth, good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
It pretty much sounds very serious and dire. Is it that serious that we've got a dire shortage of criminologists?
Okay, there are a number of issues here, and one or two issues are being conflated. Now, criminologists are not responsible for the parole process, so particularly concerning lifers. Mm. The present minister inherited a huge backlog from the previous minister in terms of processing lifers. The second issue is there is no shortage of criminologists. There is a huge shortage of trained correctional criminologists. Mm. Now, that is the fault of correctional services because they do not employ criminologists, which is counterintuitive. So there is one trained criminologist in the system at the moment based in the Western Cape. But the problem is he's not employed as a criminologist. He's actually a CO3, Correctional Officer 3, which is the lowest rank in corrections, with a master's degree and nearly a PhD, doing criminology, thanks to our previous regional commissioner who had the foresight to see the value of our work. So when we do submit reports to parole boards or to the minister or to the courts, they're very valuable people. They're highly valued. Yeah, so that's the situation.
Now, Dr. Elizabeth, why is it then that we have this huge shortage of correctional criminologists, as you rightfully just pointed out? How come we're at this point?
Okay, so what's happened is correctional criminology is actually offered as a course, for example, like the University of Limpopo offer it. Mm. Correctional criminology needs and risk assessment. That's what we do. So they offer that course to students. There are one or two MOUs between universities where postgraduates go in and do assessments for parole boards and even the 303 tools that are used by correctional services, but it's a voluntary service for them to get experience. But the problem is, so now they've got the experience, but what then? They're not trained. They're trained, but they can't work in correctional services because they don't employ correctional criminologists. So, you know, that is the problem, and it's actually a huge disadvantage, I think, to the entire rehabilitation system.
Are we saying, Doc, that we cannot and should not employ criminologists in correctional services, and rather we should be looking at employing correctional criminologists exclusively to do the job that is needed to be done? Are we employing people perhaps outside of the ambit, not really suited for that position?
Criminology is a wide field. So you get like environmental criminologists, forensic criminologists. Now what we do, and the students that are studying correctional criminology, like particularly around assessments, risk assessments, those are correctional criminologists, and those are the ones suited to the prison environment. So what I'm saying is that what they should do, look at a criminologist that's already, correctional services has got a lot of graduates, criminology graduates, but they're not being utilized to do the risk and needs assessments on a higher level, if you know what I mean, than a security official does. Mm. They're not being used in that category. So yes, if they come in with a criminology postgrad degree, they can be trained up to work as correctional criminologists. So it's just a matter of semantics here. Mm. But as I said, there are enough correctional criminologists out there, but they need to be A, trained, and B, employed by correctional services formally, like psychologists, like social workers.
So the correctional criminologists that we have in the country are perhaps not suitably trained and not suitably employed in the positions that they are suited for, if I understand you correctly?
Yeah, yeah. Look, there are a lot of them. And as I said, the ones that are lucky enough to be in the system, like the postgrad students that are connected to, say, UNISA or University of Limpopo, and who have a memorandum of understanding with correctional services and work in the prisons. They go in and do assessments to get experience. That's fantastic. So they're trained. So any of them can actually work in correctional services doing this type of work, but correctional services does not employ them. They do not employ any, let me clarify that, they do not employ criminologists as criminologists. If you happen to join correctional services or are employed by correctional services, you're employed as a corrections officer, a security officer, not a criminologist. Mm. That is the difference, yeah. They don't utilize them. They don't see their value.
Mm. Now, Dr. Elizabeth, would the shortage of correctional criminologists in correctional services, the shortage of these qualified individuals, would that ultimately affect the accuracy and fairness of parole decisions?
You know, the parole decision, the parole process has got multiple legs, if for want of a better word. So when the parole board makes a decision, they get inputs from psychologists, they get input from social workers. Those are the two particular sort of behavioral scientists they have. But they're not trained in criminal behavior, which criminologists are. They're trained in criminal behavior. So that is why our input is so greatly highly valued. The reports, you know, for example, I was lucky enough to work on a contract for a couple of years in correctional services, so I could train up at least one individual. And our reports are, as the judge said in Parliament, you know, they're highly valued. I think they're an important part of any parole decision, but they're not the only consideration by a parole board.
A WhatsApp message in from one of our listeners, 0639, saying we have criminologists and correctional criminologists with a justice system that is perhaps not working as it should. Tongue-in-cheek, I don't require a response, Dr. Liz, from you as yet, but many South Africans may be thinking that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're out there. There's criminologists broadly, there's specialized criminologists like correctional criminologists, and they're not being utilized. Their value, those that have been lucky enough to work in the system, their value is only as useful as a manager who recognizes it. And at this stage, the senior management of correctional services is just not coming to the party.
Mm. Dr. Liz, just in conclusion, what about the lack of psychological support and the impact that can have on rehabilitation efforts within our correctional facilities? And then what steps should the Department of Correctional Services take to better address perhaps a backlog of parole cases?
Okay, as I say, the normal parole boards who do normal releases, in other words, they will do all parolees besides lifers and those that were sentenced to 286A by the courts, in other words, dangerous offenders. The lifers are decided by the NCCS and minister, and the others are by the courts, releases by the courts. So, sorry, I've forgotten your question.
Yeah, the backlog of parole cases and then psychological support in conjunction with ensuring proper rehabilitation.
Okay, the problem with psychological support is we have far too few psychologists, far too few. There's something like 75 in the entire country, and they are completely overburdened and overloaded and burnt out, really, a lot of them, because their function is they have to do a risk assessment, which we specialize in. We could go in to correctional services, do the risk assessments, and then refer for treatment. So in other words, identify the criminogenics, we identify the causes of the individual's crimes, and then we can refer it to a psychologist for treatment. But at this point, first of all, as I say, there are very few psychologists. They have to do the risk assessments and they have to do therapy. And therapy is a personal intensive process. And they just, the bottom line is they're just not getting to everybody. So that is a major problem in terms of your psychological support.